Hello and welcome to another Monday show. Yep, I'm singing again. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not, but I am. But, you know, who's counting? I'm not. But yeah, here we are. Here we are on another glorious... Well... slightly dully. Dully. Slightly dull Monday. Well, it's starting to get dull. I'm just looking out my window. There's a few black clouds coming over. But it's been quite a nice weekend, hasn't it? The Easter weekend, bank holiday weekend. It's been quite nice. Nice weather. But anyway, here we are. We're not here to talk about the weather. We are here for Monday Business Madness. Monday Business Madness. I don't know how that turned out, but in my headset, it sounded quite weird, but you never know. Anyway, let's get to today's news and subjects. Okay, so let's start off the day right. The news, right, shall we say? So, starting from, obviously, last Tuesday, which was the 30th of March, Disney started rolling out their Magic Mobile service, which is now, you have your park ticket on your mobile phone, and you can use it like, kind of like how you can use it for your payments over here in the UK. I don't know if you can do it anywhere else in the world where you can tap, like, you can put your card details onto your phone into a wallet, and then when you need to pay, like contactless payment, you can just open it up on your phone and then tap it against the machine and it'll charge or take the money out of your card, which is useful in some ways. I've never really done it off my phone. I do it by contactless via the actual physical card, but I've never done it via my mobile. So, but this is like a new service that Disney's now bringing to the other services that they already have, including Magic Bands. So you can now put your park ticket on your mobile through My Disney Experience app. I believe it's through My Disney Experience. It could be through a different app entirely. But I believe there's a thing on My Disney Experiences where you can like add it. Like add the ticket to that sort of thing. And then you can use it then. But yeah, basically all you need to do is add the tickets to how many is in your group at the time, and then basically just tap your mobile against the scanner, and it works from videos and pictures that I've seen of it since it's started rolling out. Seems super quick, super easy. Yeah, just simply open it up on your phone at the time, and then you got to tap the back side of your phone. So if you've got an Apple phone, iPhone, like I have, it's the side with the iPhone, well, the Apple logo on the back, obviously. But you need to tap that side against the machine. Or not even tap it, just hold it super close. So it's close enough to read. But yeah, it's like, like I said, it's the same as contactless payments, which we do over here. I'm assuming they do it around the world as well, but I've never really seen it anywhere else other than here. I'll tell a lie, actually. I think they did it in Disneyland Paris when we went. But yeah. Anyway, it's just like that, but with the tickets on your phone. Instead of getting a magic band. You can still buy magic bands and upload your ticket information to the magic band, so you can still use a magic band if you really want one. But at the end of the day, I think this is more of like a backup option. You know, if you forget a magic band, or if, like, say you're in a rush and you forget it, and you get to the park and you're like, oh my god, I forgot my magic band. I think with this option, it gives you like some sort of backup. And also, I think this is also another good option for people that are traveling to Florida from the US for just like a weekend stay or something. So you don't have to shell out on getting a magic band or picking up a card or anything. You can just do it all on your phone, not have to worry about like physical items and stuff. Just take your phone with you, scan in, and then enjoy the parks. I think they're the two main reasons why they've started doing this, is the backup plan and for people that only do like weekend vacations or a week vacation here or there. I mean, I do like it. I think it gives a good option, a good variety of options, what you can do. I personally probably will get a magic band when I go, or if I go later this year, just because I've not been since the magic bands have been happening, and some of the magic bands do look really cool. So knowing me, I'll get a couple just to say that I've got them, and just to keep them as keepsake and to have as memories for this trip. So, but I mean, I will put the tickets on my phone as well, so that if there ever is a time that one of us forgets their magic bands, or maybe say like my dad probably won't get a magic band, so you can just use the phone to scan in. But yeah, it's just a nice alternative option, innit? So that started on the, I believe it started on the Monday. It might have started on the Tuesday. I can't really remember now. It's been a long week. The Universal Legacy Store is now open. And so is the new Universal Studios store in City Walk. That is now open as well. The Universal Studios store itself only just opened, I'd want to say Thursday or Friday. But the Legacy store has been open since pretty much the start of last week. And basically all the Legacy store is like all old props from that have been used around the parks or on rides, etc., etc., are on display in this Legacy store. And then there's sections for old rides that used to be there. So like Back to the Future, Jaws, Terminator 2, 3D. So they've got all sections for them where you can get like merchandise for that particular brand of film, show, whatever it was. It looks really cool. It looks like a tiny store from pictures, but it looks like a cool store if you're into all like movie props and all that stuff. If you're interested in that sort of thing, then it does look pretty cool to just go in and read the plaques, read all the information cards that are scattered in the store, look at all the stuff that are in the store, like the props and whatnot, take pictures, obviously. And also the merchandise is pretty cool as well, because like, I'm a massive Back to the Future fan. It's my number one film of all time, and I absolutely adored the ride, even though I only rode it about 3 or 4 times, because I was quite small, obviously, for the first couple of years of my life, that my parents didn't want to take me on it, because it is a simulator and it jerks you around like God knows what. And then, as I got older, I kind of heard like little things about it, and it put me off it, because like, again, I wasn't too sure on how I'd handle like simulation rides. But then as I got older and I watched the films and like really got into the films and stuff, and we went back to Universal Studios in Florida, that's when I decided I wanted to go on it. But then I think we only went back to Universal Studios Florida for 2 or 3 more times before they then announced that it was going to be changing to Simpsons. And yeah, I was pretty bummed out. I still am, because it was a fantastic ride. And obviously, Back to the Future is my favourite film of all time. So to have something there that made me really want to, you know, see all the stuff from the film and whatnot, I would have still been super excited. I mean, the Simpsons ride is not bad, but it is literally just the exact same, like the same ride, in a sense, just overlaid with different stuff. And I've only been on the Simpsons like once or twice since it took over. But at least now, with the Back to the Future ride itself, you can watch it on, it's on one of the Blu-rays. I think it's Back to the Future Part 3, the bonus features on the Blu-ray. I believe it's that one. But it does have Back to the Future ride, so you can watch the video, what you used to, basically, the simulator used to ride along to, so you can actually watch everything. And I've watched it over and over and over and over and over again. Even on YouTube you can find it, because people put it up there. But anyway, enough about Back to the Future, and enough about Universal really, because this is Disney. But again, like I said, I will drop some Universal stuff in here when and if I find it. Like, because let's be honest, if you're going to Florida or California, the chances are you're probably going to go to Universal at least 1 or 2 days that you're there. I know we always do, we always have, and probably always will. Depends how, if we do go this year, whether how we're going to get there. That's the only thing. Probably just get an Uber there, I suppose. But I'm hoping to go at least one day, just so I can see all the changes that have happened over the last 12 years that I've not been. So, like, both Harry Potter lands have been done. Yeah, so the new Jurassic Coaster, Velocicoaster should be up, because that's coming in the summer. So it'll be interesting to see everything. But anyway, let's go back to Disney. International Food and Wine Festival is starting earlier this year. I believe it's July. They're starting it this year. All the castle. The castle bunting has all been put up ready for the 50th anniversary. So this October the 1st date that they said they're going to start all the celebrations and stuff. Like I said, the castle will be done by summertime, I should imagine. I should imagine now that they've done all the bunting around the castle itself, they'll start doing all the swirly spire stuff. So that should be done by the summer. So if you're going on a summer vacation over there, depending on the international travel restrictions from here in the UK, but if you're going on a summer vacation over there, if you're from America and you're going to Florida for the summer, then there's probably a very, very high chance that you will see the new castle in all its glory, which is quite exciting. Because then it gives the people that can't be there for the 50th anniversary, like, something to see and behold that, you know, is the centre point of the 50th anniversary. And then going from one makeover to another, the People Mover in Magic Kingdom has been delayed again through till 31st of May. So, that is going to be around, well, near enough a year, isn't it? Because it didn't reopen when the parks reopened in June or July last year. So, yeah, it'll be near enough a year. I don't particularly know what's wrong, because they said that they replaced all the sensors on the tracks. They've replaced stuff that needed replacing. So I don't know if it's just like a technical side of things that some of the sensors ain't like lining up with each other or working with each other, etc., etc. I don't know, but it was originally slated to come back in January, then they pushed it back to February, then they pushed it back to March. I don't think they pushed it back to April. I think they've just now pushed it straight back to like the end of May. I think they, like, instead of putting an actual date out for April, they're just now going, it'll be the end of May. I suppose if they get it figured out in time, it will open before then. And I think that's probably what they're hoping for. But at least the end of May is just before like the big summertime rush hits. So it gives them an extra, well, pretty much 2 full months to like figure out what is actually wrong and sort it out, ready for the summertime rush. Because a lot of people seem to love the People Mover, so there's no chance that they'll want to have these biggish crowds in, well, as big as they can, you know, the 35% crowds. There's no way that they'll want them there without having the People move over, open, because they know that it is somewhat popular. I mean, it's nice and relaxing, don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't really class it as one of the best attractions there. It's nice to go on after you've been walking around for about 5 or 6 hours and you just want somewhere to, like, chill. Just take the stress off your feet and just go on there for whatever, how long it is, like 10 minutes maybe? I don't know. But yeah, that's delayed. McDonald's fries are back in Disney. Now, they've not sold McDonald's stuff for quite a while in Disney parks itself. Animal Kingdom was based on McDonald's. It wasn't based on McDonald's. It was like the food that they sold there was all like primarily McDonald's based foods. That's what I meant. I didn't mean the park was based on McDonald's, because that would be a freaky park, let's be honest. But yeah, the food at Animal Kingdom used to be pretty much all McDonald's. I think most quick serve stuff around all four parks was mainly McDonald's burgers and fries. I definitely know Animal Kingdom was, though, because we used to always go to the quick serve restaurant that's next to, well, that's near Dinosaur. It's in Dinosaur Land, obviously. Or Dino Land, should we say. I can't really remember the name of the restaurant at the moment. But we always used to go there because it was a McDonald's place. Like, they sold McDonald's stuff. And it was always nice, always, you know, always simple food, always had a nice meal there, sort of thing, so. But yeah, now McDonald's fries have been spotted at the Friar's Nook at Magic Kingdom. The sign actually does say McDonald's fries on there now. Whereas before, I can't really remember if they mentioned the word McDonald's in any of their food. But I do know that Animal Kingdom did have McDonald's participation in the actual theme park. Because if you go on the ride Dinosaur, there's a red pipe, a white pipe, and a yellow pipe. And on it is the combination to the ingredients that are in ketchup, mayo, and mustard. That McDonald's juice. And that's the only thing that's still technically associated with McDonald's in any of the theme parks. Until now. Now they've got a sign up that says McDonald's fries available. So, you know, one step closer to getting McDonald's back. Woo! I mean, it's just nice, isn't it? It's just nice, like, just, you know, it, you know what you're getting, basically, with McDonald's stuff. Burger, chips, or fries, in this case. Just something quick, something simple, something, yeah, it's, McDonald's isn't very filling for, I should imagine, most people. But it's just something to tide over for a good couple hours, isn't it? And you know what you're going to get for that sort of money, so it's just an easy option. Disney have announced reusable bamboo utensils are coming soon to Disney parks. I haven't looked too much into this. I did see this pop up a few times on my feed on Twitter and Instagram. But I never really looked into it. I'm just going to assume that Disney are going to be selling these as a pack. So you get a fork, a knife, and a spoon. All made from reusable bamboo, obviously. It's to cut down on waste. It's to cut down on plastics. Which is fair enough. But knowing Disney, it's probably going to be quite expensive to buy. I should imagine that you're looking at about maybe $12 to $15. That's just a random guess because, I mean, they're selling the Spork again in Galaxy's Edge. And I believe that's something like $7.99 or even $10.99. But either way, it's a lot, isn't it, just for a spork, which is a spoon slash fork hybrid, if people don't know what a spork is. But it's quite a thick-looking metal spork. But again, this has a fork, a knife, and a spoon, all made from bamboo in a nice little Disney Parks pouch. I'm looking at the picture of it right now. So, I would assume, I suppose $10 won't be bad, but I mean, if you want to try and, like, convince and make everyone get or turn to bamboo reusable stuff, then surely sell it for, like, $5 or something, you know, something dirt cheap. Well, not dirt cheap, but something that's obviously gonna cost more than what it did to make. So you're still gonna get a little bit of profit, but like cheap enough so that people turn their heads and go, oh yeah, maybe we'll get this and carry this around the park and use them. You know what I mean? But maybe that's just, that just might be my way of thinking. I don't know. What other stuff? Ah, Disneyland Paris? Disneyland Paris. Right, I've seen this, but it came out on April 1st. So I wasn't actually 100% sure whether it was an April Fool's. Because on that same day, I seen another article come out about Disneyland Paris saying that they're changing the colour scheme of the castle to red and red. Like the castle itself was going to be red. Like red, red. Not like a gone off red. It's like actual red, red. And then the spires were going to be like a yellow or gold sort of thing. And I mean, I didn't personally hate the picture. I thought it looked quite cool, the way that somebody mocked it up. But yeah, that was an April Fool's, because they said, because they've already announced what the colours of the castle was going to be when they announced it in January, that it's going under a whole year refurbishment, ready for the 30th anniversary. And the woman who told us about it held up the colour schemes that they were going to do it. So when I seen this picture and it said that Disneyland Paris is changing the colour scheme and it's going to stay like that forever, I was like, yeah, I doubt it. Because otherwise Disney probably would have put some out themselves. So I kind of knew that was an April Fool's. But again, like I said, didn't really hate the picture, the way that they did it. I thought the castle looked pretty cool. And over time with the sun on it, it would have faded out the darkness of the red, so it kind of would have gone to something similar than what it is now, or well, before it went under refurbishment, because they're currently painting it and doing it all up now. So, but then possibly like an hour later, this picture broke. This picture, what I'm looking at right now, is the concept art for the new Disney Village overhaul project. Now, if you've never been to Disneyland Paris, Disney Village is just the little shopping village that's just outside the two parks. Kind of like a downtown Disney that's in California. It's just there as you're coming out of the parks, and it's just, and you basically walk through the Disney Village to get to the Disney hotels. So it's a nice little touch. But yes, I personally do feel like it does need, well, not an overhaul as such, just maybe a few different options and a bit more, let's say the word spruce, sprucing up a bit, you know, just to make it look like a bit brighter, a bit appetizing to the eyes, should we say. Because at the moment, well, the last couple of times I've been, there's always been like, it needs, definitely needs paint in certain areas, because some of it just looks like the paint's gone over time and it just looks dull. And then you got the facades, which are up the top of the shops, which look, some of them do need replacing because like there's bits missing and whatnot. So yes, it does need work doing, but I wouldn't have said overhaul, but this is what they're saying is an overhaul project, which was announced when they announced the €2.3 billion euro investment, which was about 3 years ago now, or 4 years ago they announced this, when they told us that we're getting new lands in Disney Studios Park. They're going to be using some of the money to go into the current ride and do them all up, and you know, just general maintenance, keep on top of it more. And then they announced that they're also looking at Disney Village to bring new stuff, extend it probably, and, you know, change it up a bit. So, again, April 1st, I thought it could be a joke because the picture is just like a concept art picture. Which, to be fair, anyone, if you got any sort of skills of artwork, could just make up a picture and put it out there and say, this is concept art. But because it's appeared on quite a number of Disney news outlet sites that I do look through, then obviously there's some truth to this. And looking at the picture, it does look really cool, to be fair. It just looks more, well, a bit more fresh, a bit more modern. I will try and put the picture on my Instagram when I promote, obviously, my podcast going live, and hope that people see it. But it shows like a newer remodeled McDonald's. It shows you the walkway, which I'm assuming is the walkway by the side of Earl of Sandwich and at the back end of Rainforest. So I know this is really hard to explain when obviously people can't see the picture, but I'm looking at it and I'm assuming this corner bit here must be Rainforest. This must be all the seating area by McDonald's, but they've completely changing the outside look of McDonald's by the looks of it. The Disney store looks like it's getting new, like, entrance facade. They've also got Hard Rock Cafe on this picture, which I, for one, am really hoping that Hard Rock Cafe comes to Disneyland or Disney Village in Disneyland Paris, because every time we go to Florida, without question, we'll always go to Hard Rock Cafe at least 2, 3, possibly even 4 times in a 2-week visit, because it's in Disney Springs. But yeah, I love Hard Rock Cafe so much, just because it is like, it's like a massive nerdgasm for me, because it's all films, like there's props everywhere, there's like, yeah, it's just film props. I'm a massive film nerd, but then also the music in there, most of the time it's like, it's always mixed, but 9 times out of 10 that we've always been, it's always been like proper rock music and wait, no, ignore me. For some reason, I keep thinking of Planet Hollywood. But Hard Rock Cafe, yes, we do go Hard Rock Cafe, but when we go to Universal Studios, because that's where it is. It's not in Disney Springs. Planet Hollywood's in Disney Springs. Hard Rock Cafe's in Universal Studios, Ben. Keep up, man. Keep up. But yes, Hard Rock Cafe is for like rock lovers, which I am. Music lover, which I am. Always plays like Guns N' Roses and stuff like that in there every time I go. Well, every time we've been to Universal Studios. But every time we go to Universal Studios, we always go to Hard Rock Cafe. Right, so now I'm back on track. But if you like memorabilia from bands and like old like guitars and stuff, or clothing that your favorite artists or like bands and stuff used to wear, then you'd love Hard Rock Cafe. And if you're into rock or metal or whatever, then you'd probably love Hard Rock Cafe as well. The food, always fantastic. Pulling it back to Planet Hollywood, The food's always fantastic there as well. Well, saying that, the one in Disneyland Paris is a bit hit or miss, but every time I've had Planet Hollywood in Florida, it's always been pretty nice and enjoyable. That's got all the movie props, so if you're a movie freak like me, go to Planet Hollywood. If you love rock or metal or just like memorabilia side of stuff of like your favorite bands, favorite artists like Elvis Presley, The Who, The Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, people like that, then you'll love Hard Rock Cafe. Right, now I've ballsed up quite a lot in that segment, or that section, shall we say. I'll just move on. But yeah, the concept art for Disneyland, Disney Village in Disneyland Paris. I'll put it up so people can see. I thought it was an April Fool's at first. But like I said, it's on so many different Disney news outlets that there's obviously some sort of truth to it now. But obviously it's not going to look like that for a good number of years, I should imagine, because it looks like there's quite a lot of rehashing, shall we say, to do on the fronts of stores, the fronts of restaurants, just the general look of it. It looks, it just looks more like a downtown Disney / Disney Springs sort of thing. It just looks more peaceful, more like it's heading towards like adult side of things. Like, you know, people always say like Disney's for kids, but you gotta remember, if you've got kids, then there's obviously adult parents with them, so this they need somewhere to be able to chill or go to and enjoy themselves. Obviously, they'll still have the kids with them, but I mean, like, places like Hard Rock Cafe is one of them places where adults will enjoy it more than the kids, but at the same time, the food, the kids will be happy because the food's great, and the adults will be happy because the food's great and the atmosphere is great. So, and they can also get an alcoholic beverage if they choose. Not saying that it will, but they could. You never know. Right. So now that balls that up quite a lot, let's move on, shall we? The train that is going to be going through Miami and stopping at Disney, Walt Disney World, and then heading through Florida itself. But Disney's going to be a stop on this train journey. The rumor is that the train station is going to be at the Orange Garage section of Disney Springs. Now, I've not been to Disney Springs since they've done it fully up, so I don't actually know where Orange Garage is yet until I go and see it myself. But this is one for people that listen from the US. If you do, then the train station is apparently planned for the Orange Garage in Disney Springs. And that's where it'll stop. That's where it'll let people get off when if they're going to Walt Disney World. And I suppose, I'm assuming it must be near the bus station, because then people can get off with their luggage off the train. And then probably just go get on the bus to go to whichever hotel they need to. That's just my guess. I don't actually know. Like I said, I've not been to Disney Springs since they've done it up, so I can't really comment any further. But yeah, that's the rumor. That's where it's supposed to go. All the other news is basically just like food items that have scattered around, some new merchandise here and there, but it's not really anything to really worry about sort of thing. So for the news side of things, I think that's probably gonna do it for now. Just scrolling through to make sure that there's absolutely nothing of importance really to mention. Disneyland Paris, I'll say this as well. Disneyland Paris are hosting a virtual celebration for their 29th anniversary, which will be on the 12th of April this year. Just let me check before I tell you. They released the logo. The logo I'll also put up on my Instagram to go along with promoting this podcast. Looks quite clean, to be fair. Looks quite nice. So, though Disneyland Paris has no current reopening date as of yet, the Disneyland Paris ambassador is inviting guests to an exclusive virtual celebration on the 12th of April 2021 to look back on 29 years of the resort and celebrate what lies ahead in its future. Outlined on the Disneyland ambassador Instagram, highlights of the celebration will include a walk through the park, or walk the park, so I'm assuming just walking through the park and telling you a bit of history. Discover the history of the resort, and also with a few Disney Imagineering and managers of consumer insight. They've been filming it, like parts of it already, because they've shared like behind the scenes footage of them standing in the middle of Main Street USA, all three of them nicely spread apart, obviously for COVID reasons, all wearing a mask. So they probably filmed it all anyway. It's just obviously going to be a video, not like a live show. They might do like something live to go with it. Maybe like sitting down and actually showing you like concept of what it used to look like to what it is now to what it might look like in the future. But like the walk the park section looks like it's just going to be basically a video, which they've been filming during this week. Like I said, they've been standing on Main Street with the masks socially distanced apart. Looks like they're talking about something. You can see the new gazebo in the background, which is, as you enter the park, there is a gazebo, or was a gazebo. I mean, there still is because it's new. But you used to be able to meet like Mary Poppins up there, sometimes Donald Duck and Daisy Duck, sometimes. Has Chippendale been up there? I can't remember. First ever time I went. Every day that we went, it was always somebody new, but most of the time it was like Donald, Daisy, or the Penguin and Mary Poppins, something like that. But yeah, they stripped down this gazebo and basically redid it up in the same style that it was, just using more waterproofing components and materials. So it still looks the same, but it just means it's not gonna like rust or rot through the years that there's gonna be rain and storms and everything like that. So it should last a lot longer without having to like properly, you know, keep maintenance on it. But yes, that is the virtual Disneyland Paris on April 12th for the 29th anniversary. Which means I am 1 year older than Disneyland Paris itself, because I am 30 in 28 days, which is ridiculous. But still. But yeah, like I said, that's probably going to be it for the news today. Because the rest, like I said, is mainly like little bits of merchandise, little bits of food and stuff that are coming to the parks. So, with that being said, what are you most excited about? Are you excited about actually going back to any of the parks? Are you more excited about the future, like seeing what the parks will end up like? Are you excited? Like, are you just generally excited by stuff that Disney do? Because I know there's a lot of people out there that claim to be, like, you know, Disney fanatics and Disney park lovers. But all the time on Twitter and stuff, I see every time they make an announcement, they always, like, basically just rip into Disney for certain stuff. But at the end of the day, you got to think Disney got to move forward at some point. They got to start looking ahead for future generations and stuff. So they need to update their parks. They need to update stuff to do with the parks. Rides, attractions, food, merchandise. Even painting the castle. Remember when they announced that repainting Cinderella Castle at Walt Disney World? And the amount of hate for it was ridiculous. At the end of the day, it's a bloody castle. Like, it's still something majestic to look at and take pictures of. If you don't like the colours that much, you can always just edit your colours out on your pictures. Again, I don't like editing pictures, but I do like the colour of it. I think it looks quite nice with the rose gold and the dark blue spires. You got to think as well, over time, the sun's going to fade it all, so it's all going to fade anyway, eventually. But yeah. But stuff like that, it just annoys me, because, like, you go on Twitter and, like, they all claim that this Disney, air quotes, community, which I think is a load of bollocks anyway, because if you're a Disney fan, you're a Disney fan. You don't have to join forces with other Disney fans to call yourself a community. You're all just basically fans. There's nothing special about anyone. There's like, we all like it. We all enjoy stuff. Yeah, some people enjoy stuff other than others, like in the parks or outside the parks. But then you always see, like, people saying, like, oh, there's trouble in the Disney community, and then you look at it and it's all people just ripping the shit out of, like, Bob Chapek and stuff. At the end of the day, he's in charge. Deal with it. Get over it. Move on. If you don't like some of his stuff, don't visit the parks. Simple as, isn't it? Don't, like, if you don't like some of the methods and stuff that they do, or like some of the stuff that they're trying to change and try out and test and whatnot, then just leave it alone. Don't go. Don't take part in anything. Don't do anything that'll... I think that's better than actually, like, saying, like, oh, this guy's no good. He shouldn't be in charge of a business. Like, there's obviously people behind the scenes that look at loads of different candidates and they all sit together and work out who is probably the best candidate at the time to take projects forward. Yes, over the years there has been a few number of people in charge of Disney that are, like, shall we say, probably wasn't a good option. Once they've left, you can see, like, all the stuff that they left behind. Yes, fair enough, there is that, and I get why people want Disney to choose the best person, but you have to think at the time they are choosing who they think is the best person to move forward with the future projects. Simple as. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We all make mistakes. Like, simple as. It's life. Move on. Get over it. Just stop being these little douchebags behind your keyboards, like, tweeting out random shit about, like, oh, he's gonna ruin Disney. Like, if he does, then Disney will just bounce back with the new person, or they'll find a new team to like bring it back at some point. They're not gonna leave it to fucking rot, are they, all the time? So calm down, keep your socks on, keep your panties in untwisted. And let's move on, shall we? Right, let's move on. Let's move on to Disney Plus. Let's move on to some of the programs that I am watching on Disney Plus. Let you know what I'm on about. I'm really sorry, by the way, this is gonna be well over an hour podcast. Did not expect the news section to take that long, because I didn't really think there was that much news until I started looking through again, like, to recap all last week's news. But anyway, let's move on. So first up, Mighty Ducks Game Changers. The Mighty Ducks Game Changers. So, first episode. There was mixed reviews. People obviously saying it was, like, pretty much a reboot, which I could see in some senses. Some saying it was unusual and not the same sort of style as the Mighty Ducks was. But here's the kicker for y'all. It's been like 25 years or so. Something like that since the Mighty Ducks first came out. So, yeah, styles change from the 90s to now. And they're going more the, like, I personally think they're capturing the essence of the original trilogy quite well so far in these two episodes, like the comedic side of it. Because the comedy factor of the first three Mighty Duck films was fantastic. It's so funny. The older I got, the more I understood, like, certain jokiness to it. So I think with this new show, they're going for that, like, comedic essence side of stuff, which I find I'm actually quite enjoying. The second episode, I thought, was absolutely funny as shit. Like, the fact that Emilio Estevez is just playing Gordon Bombay like he did from the first film, where he was just, like, basically an asshole type of character with witty comebacks and sarcastic tones and stuff. I just find it hilarious. I'm not sure what everyone else thinks. I don't think my family enjoy it as much as the films, but I personally do like the show. I think it's pretty cool. Yes, certain bits are pretty much copying the three films. Like the fact that they're a bunch of kids that can't really play well together. The fact that their first game, they got absolutely smashed. So, what's wrong with that? I mean, if it works so well in the three films, then why not use some of the formula from the three films? Like the comedy sides of stuff. They've added that into this show. It works. The kids, they're being absolute balls to the wall shit. It worked then. It still works now. The coach, she doesn't really know what she's doing. Gordon Bombay was just a lawyer. I know he used to play hockey, but he never coached hockey. So he didn't really know what he was doing in the first film either. He just kind of learned as he went on. So they're using that element, but with the main character's mum. And it works. But the fact that they've still got Coach Bombay, who runs this ice palace that they train on and play on, the fact that they've still got him in the background means that he's obviously going to put in his influences in as the show goes on. You could see at the end of episode 2, after they got smashed, what was it like? I don't know, some at nil anyway, weren't they got absolutely trolloped. But the main kid, Evan, was so peed off that he actually wants to do really well, but his mum's just like, we're just here to have fun. Like, it's, you don't have to worry about winning or losing, etc., etc. But then Evan's like, no, the whole point why we play hockey is because we want to succeed and become good. So then he goes out on the ice, and then everyone decides to follow him like a true leader. Everyone follows him, and they all just start like doing laps on the ice, or doing like figure eight sort of style skates. And Gordon Bombay sat in his, well, stood at his office window, looking through the blinds, and you just see him with a little smirk on his face. So he's obviously getting that sort of spirit back that he saw from the original Ducks, that he's gonna end up, I don't think he's gonna end up becoming the coach of this team, but I think he's probably gonna end up, like, you know, giving them pointers and helping with the coaching of the team, but like leaving the main coachingness to Evan's mum. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully Gordon Bombay does come back as a coach, because, like, let's be honest, that's the whole point. The three films were pretty good, even though he wasn't the coach in the third film, but he does appear in the third film. But, like, it's similar sort of situation to number three, actually, that it was a new coach and the team didn't really like him to start off with. But then Gordon Bombay, like, told Charlie the backstory of the new coach, and then after that Charlie kind of like realized, I need to stop being such a dick towards him, because like he's taking care of his disabled child. So and then Charlie came back and then basically made an amends with the coach, and then the team all stood behind Charlie because they thought he was the true captain, which he is. So then they all started playing well and taking on the coach's ideas and whatnot, and then yeah, they went on to win and stuff. So I think the essence of the third film, where Gordon Bombay took Charlie aside and, you know, showed him like there's more to life than just one guy teaching him and stuff, I think it's going to be that sort of similar role again, but for these kids. Like, he might, you know, like, take them all aside one by one and just give them pointers and stuff. So, we'll see as it goes on. But at the moment, like I said, it's two episodes in. I really enjoy it. I think it's fun. I think it's just a nice little fun family comedy show that is probably what is needed this point, to be honest. And it's just easy to laugh at, easy to follow if you've loved the first three films. Like, I get what my dad said in the first one when he said it shouldn't be called the Mighty Ducks because they're not the Ducks. But I told him that it's based in the world of the Mighty Ducks, so I suppose in that sense they called it the Mighty Duck Game Changers, because these kids are going to become obviously good at some point, so they're going to like change the rules of what people have been putting in place for the last, I don't know, 20 years or whatever it is. That any kid, shape, size, height, you know, anyone can play hockey as long as you're having fun and enjoying it, as well as like obviously getting through each game. I think that's what it just means, is that it's set in the Mighty Ducks universe, but everyone's taking it way too seriously there, and then these kids come along and they're gonna show that you can have fun whilst, you know, playing hockey with each other. And that's kind of what Mighty Ducks did in the first film, wasn't it? They all came together, started having a bit of fun with each other, started enjoying playing together. And there was like serious teams like the Hawks and stuff, who was just like, nope, this is the way. And then the ducks came in and was like, quack, quack, quack. But yeah, I think it's cool. I can't wait for the other episodes to drop. Every Friday it comes out. I'm assuming there's 10 episodes in the series. I don't actually know how many episodes there is, but I'm just going to assume there's 10. Because even though it's like quite choppy in places, like it seems to jump over a lot of things in certain places, like it cuts to different scenes quite quick without explaining other stuff. I'm assuming there's quite a lot to explain over this series, so there must be like at least, well, there's got to be 8 or 10 episodes shortly, so.
I don't have an answer for that. Is there...
Oh, my Siri's just going off. Great. Cool. Anyway. Thanks, Siri. I don't need your help. I didn't even mention your name. I did then, but you didn't even pop up. Anyway. Let's move on to The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Right. This is episode 3. There's only 3 more episodes because there is only 6 episodes in this series. And quite frankly, there's a lot of stuff happening. Like, I generally don't even know how I'm going to explain half of this stuff. So, Sam and Bucky, pissed off as they are, go to Zemo, who is one of the villains from Captain America Civil War, if you remember. The guy who had the book of phrases to that would control the Winter Soldier. So Bucky's like, I need to go see Zemo. Sam's like, you know what happened last time that happened, which again, just mentioned, used to control him with these phrases from his little book. So they go see Zemo because they need to know where this super soldier serum is coming from. They said it so many times in this episode that I thought, I can't even say it once, as I've just perfectly shown or made you hear, that I can't even say it. So I'm just going to call it SSS for short, because I don't really want to make so many mistakes. But yeah, they go to Zemo, basically like telling him that this new SSS is in, is being made, is being distributed to people. The Flag Smashers, are they called? Similar. Yeah, there's this group of kids / young adults that want to change the world back to how it was during the blip. So I'm assuming like nice, peaceful, no real issues and stuff, which I can fully understand. Who doesn't want a world with no issues and anything like that? But again, this is the whole concept of Marvel, is that you can see kind of the point of the villains of the shows and the films. You can see the point. You can see why they are coming to this situation and stuff. But at the same time, you can also see the point of the heroes being like, well, the world's got to be how it is, like, you know, simpler. But yeah, they're trying to find this SSS that's in production. Zemo's stuck in prison at this point. So then it cuts back to Bucky and Sam doing like this garage / warehouse thing. And Bucky's just like, well, we kind of need Zemo. And Sam's like, yeah, we can't break him out though. He's in prison. And then Bucky's just like telling this story. But whilst he's telling it, the overlay of the pictures is showing you that Zemo's currently in process of breaking out of his cell, which is in part helped, I assume, by Bucky, because he's like telling this story, what's happening and stuff. And then Sam's like, hold on a minute, where are we at exactly? And then next thing you know, you see Zemo walking through the doors in the police uniform outfit, which he stole off a guy whilst well, stole off one of the officers whilst he was breaking out of prison to help get out of prison easier. Makes sense? Yeah, cool. So yeah, Zemo's now on this hunt with Sam and Bucky. I assume shit's gonna go awry at some point, as you'd expect with Marvel. Like, either Zemo's gonna, you know, do a double take, a double deed, a double whatever you want to call it. Just backstab him, really. And then go back on the run. I assume that's how this series is going to end, is that Zemo's now back out there. And he probably will appear again in another thing, another film, another series, if they do another series. I assume that's what's going to happen. But anyway, in the process, Zemo's like, I've got connections that could take us to see certain people about, you know, the distribution of SSS. So they go to this city. I want to say Madripoor. I think that's it. I should really take notes. I keep saying this. I said it all every WandaVision as well. I should take notes. But I want to say Madripoor, because I'm sure that's the same city that Wolverine went to as well. If it's not the same city that Wolverine went to in to fight the Silver Samurai and all that stuff in The Wolverine, then I think it's based in and around the same sort of areas and stuff. Because it's like a black market sort of thing where all the gangsters and stuff hide out and whatnot. So they go into this bar. They need to see this hierarchy person to ask them about the SSS distribution. So to do that, they have to stay in characters. So Sam's playing like this. Well, he called himself a pimp looking guy because he's in a very suave suit, I'll give him that. Zemo's obviously playing himself like the bad guy that he is. And then Bucky has to kind of play the Winter Soldier how he was, so that people know that he's like, and basically, so it looks like Zemo and Sam, who I can't remember his character's name, the White Tiger, I think, or something like that. But to make it seem like, obviously, the Winter Soldier is their sort of like bodyguard slash under their controls, etc., etc. So they had to keep it cool, play all these characters, etc. So after a bit of fighting, action, and all this stuff, what you expect from Marvel shows, films, they get to see the higher person. Again, I can't really remember the name of the woman that was in charge. I'm really sorry, but if you've seen the show, that's probably why you're listening to this bit. Otherwise, you would have left ages ago. In fact, you probably have left ages ago, and that this is just being spoken to by myself to myself. But yeah, they go talk to this woman, stay in character, until Sam gets a phone call from his sister. And she's like, and then the bad woman is like, put on speakerphone. Because obviously she doesn't trust that Sam is who he says he is. So he's on speakerphone trying to act all like, you know, badass cocky. Like, I don't know, like, I suppose a gangster probably would. I'm assuming it's like a gangster type of person. But then his sister's like, Sam! And then they're like, oh shit. But before she can react, or her bodyguards, etc., can react to Sam, like, to react to the situation where they heard Sam's name and they're like, who's Sam? And then she's like, kill him! But before they could do all that, this woman gets killed by a sniper, who we don't see. Like, we don't see the identity of until later on in the show. But then as they're trying to escape, they're trying to just walk out casually whilst walking at a brisk pace through this like black market type street. And Zemo's like, just act cool. We need to like quickly get out of here before everyone gets notified about the situation. But then at that point, all phones start ringing and going off, and it's like saying, so-and-so's been shot. I can't remember her name. Saying that she's been killed. $1 million for the bounty. Or it might be more. But it's something like $1 million for bounty for each of them. So then they start legging it. Because then people start jumping on their bikes and start shooting them. So again, another action scene. I mean, all the action scenes have been pretty cool in this series so far. Like, they're very, very well done. Like, well thought out and well executed. And also, like, the amount of places they go to so far. I mean, they've traveled pretty much around the world. Just doing little bits here and there. Like, Istanbul, obviously America. I don't even know where they shot this Madripoor. I'm assuming, like, is Madripoor an actual place? If not, then I'm assuming it's something like Shanghai, because it looks very picturesque from the landscape views and very, like, colourful with the night arrangements and, like, obviously all the lights and stuff. I'm assuming it's something like Japan or Shanghai or somewhere like that. But yeah, they seem to have shot this around everywhere, really. So yeah, anyway, they try and escape. They get caught up by a couple hitmen on bikes, at which point the sniper then hits again and shoots these two guys before they can do anything. And then they come out. She comes out of the blue, because it turns out to be Agent. I call it Agent Carter, but she's not. It's Agent Carter's granddaughter, isn't it? Sharon Carter. But it turns out that the 2 years that her and Sam were on the run after Civil War, I think. She basically just never was able to like have a proper life in the US anymore, so she fled and then ended up there, where she works as like an art dealer of some kind. Like, I know it's very weird, isn't it? But like, she hosts parties and stuff for like the big wealthy people, and then she sells pieces of art and whatnot, and as I suppose that's how she gets her information as well, for certain things, certain at certain places, certain times, etc., etc. So then Sam's like telling her about the SSS that's been made and distributed to people that are trying, like, becoming super soldiers and trying to like overthrow world leaders and all this stuff. So then Sharon decides to help. Anyway, cut to what are they actually called? A crate yard? A shipping yard? I don't know what it is. Where they have all shipping crates and stuff. They find the guy who's making it. They chat to him, blah, 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 blah. Get all the information. Then Zemo out of nowhere basically shoots him dead. And then they realize, yeah, Zemo's like a nutcase, which they should have seen coming. But then, yeah, they find all the information they need, so then they have to go find somebody else who this guy told them. Because it turned out that this guy made the formula for the new SSS. They made this new formula, which doesn't enhance them physically, so they don't get all big and buff, but they still have like the super strength and capability side of the super soldiers, which is why the bad guys in this that wear the masks and stuff, when they were fighting Bucky and Sam on the top of the vans, the lorries, even in the last episode, you could see that they were like super strong but not big and buff like Captain America was. So yeah, like then they find out that the guy who actually created this new formula, they got rejected by someone because they didn't want it being out there. But then the blip happened, and then when he came back, he said somebody's kind of like stole it in a way, or like took it, and now it's out there. So then he gives them the information of somebody else who can help him progress to try and find this girl, Carly, who's the leader of this group. So then, when they're leaving, then Sharon's like, I can't come with you, I need to stay here, blah, blah, blah. If when you go back, if you can find stuff out and get my name pardoned, then I'll come back and stuff. So I think there's something to do with Sharon. Like, she might be some sort of hierarchy sort of type leader within this area. Maybe a resistance leader in a way. Like, she's trying to stop, you know, the bad, big bad gangster type people from doing stuff and whatnot. So she might be like some sort of hero there that she feels like she can't leave or whatever. But then the other option is that she's actually like the main big bad person, and like the super plot twist is that she's the one that actually, you know, in charge of everything. That's a big if, because I doubt Marvel will go down that route, but you just never know. Like, the way that she said that she couldn't come back and whatnot, it just kind of left me feeling, maybe she's like a bad guy. I don't know. But then anyway, Zemo, Sam, and Bucky all then go again cross country to Europe. They're going to see somebody that can help them again. But then Bucky's like, you know what? I'm going to go for a walk because, I just want it. So then Sam and Zemo's like, all right, cool, we'll meet back up with you, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So then them two go off into this building, and then Bucky starts walking off, and then he starts picking up these little knobs or little like marble type things. And then he goes down some street, picks up another one, and he like looks up and goes, I knew you'd come. And it turns out it's, I can't remember her name either, but the one from Black Panther. Not Shuri, though. The other one. I know, I'm bad with names. I can't remember. So anyway, that was a quick but shit recap of episode 3. Because I don't remember many people's names or stuff that's happened, even though I only watched the episode like late Saturday night. So, but anyway, it is what it is. So here's my thoughts on the next 3 episodes, or what could possibly happen at the end of this series. So, I said last week that maybe Bucky is the one that's gonna take the shield and become Captain America. And to some extent, I would like to see that, because I think it'd be pretty cool for Bucky as a character, because Sam's already the Falcon, and we already know, like, he's a good guy. Like, he's already been good. But whereas for Bucky, he's still feeling the effects of, or the ramifications of, when he was the Winter Soldier. And it's kind of like messing him up a bit, and he still doesn't know what he needs to do about it. So in some sort of way, I'd think it'd be better if they gave the shield to Bucky, because then he'd be like given more, you know, more, I don't know, just, I can't even think of the word, but it would just feel more like impactful, that like an arc like that, that he's gone from a super bad guy to then being like the main good guy, like the face of everything. And I think that would be a good arc for his character. Because then yeah, fair enough. He could probably, I wouldn't say be killed off in the next couple of films or whatever, but like, you know, he could be like the next Steve Rogers, where he'd be like, he's done it. He's gone through the whole arc, and then he'll be like, right, I've done my time, so I need to go, sort of thing. And then they could give it back to Sam, because then Sam could feel a bit of sadness for that Bucky's leaving and whatnot, and that Bucky and Steve have both left him, sort of thing, and that he feels that he needs time now to take up that mantle and step up to the plate and whatnot. Maybe that's how the series ends. Maybe Bucky will die or something. I don't know. That could be a major twist as well. That Bucky's going through this sort of arc. Even through this series, he's just going through like a major arc, because he's like dealing with the ramifications of being a hitman, being under mind control and all that, and that he wants to change himself for the better. Like, he's doing therapy sessions and whatnot. So maybe, like, he does go full on, like, a full arc. And then by episode 5 and whatnot, maybe he does, like, possibly get the shield and start thinking, like, his arc, his journey is done. And then maybe in episode 6 he ends up dying or something. And then Sam, maybe that's when Sam's like, you know what, now I need to step up and show everyone who's boss and whatnot. I don't know. These are just wild theories that I'm just throwing out there. That maybe Bucky doesn't make it through this series. But at the end of the day, I think they'll keep Bucky for quite a, not quite a long time, but quite a while for a bit. Because there's something here between Bucky and Sam that they're now becoming the next, like, you know, bromance, like Bruce and Tony Stark did, like Sam and Steve did. They had like that bromance going on. Peter Parker and Tony Stark, you know, there's always been like in twos sort of thing. Thor and Loki in some sort of way was like, obviously they're brothers, but like there was always that connection like between them, especially during Ragnarok, which I thought was an excellent film. So maybe Bucky and Sam's gonna be that new sort of pairing, so they might stick them together for the next, you know, the next couple phases of Marvel's films or shows. So I'd be very surprised if they kill off Bucky. But again, I'm not ruling it out, because then that would create some sort of dramatic turn that Sam may need to be pushed into getting the shield and becoming the rightful Captain America, if you get what I mean. But yeah, on the other hand, it would be nice to see Bucky become Captain America and become that leader, because then he would have gone the full arc of his story. So there's two real possible ways that they could do it. Or the third possible way is that Sharon Carter comes back to the US after getting the name cleared at the end of it all. But it turns out she's taken some of the super soldier serum or something like that. So she's now like, you know, a badass. Well, she already was a badass when she was taking out some of the guys in the last episode. But I mean, she could take some of the serum and then be even more like proper powerful. And then she could become like a female Captain America. Maybe that's a third option. Maybe Sam and Bucky are just like, you know what? If we can't decide who needs to be this leader, then maybe we'll give it to her. And then we'll just follow her commands, you know? I think that would be an interesting plot as well for the next couple of phases of Marvel. I mean, they're already doing the female Thor with Thor, Love and Thunder. That's coming out next year. So, I mean, they could be going down the route of, like, having all the females become, like, the female Avengers. Like, they've been saying, like, people have been asking for and saying for God knows how many years now online, saying that they need to put all the females to female Avengers. They're also going the route with the Young Avengers, as you've seen through WandaVision with the twins, Ant-Man with his daughter. Even the second episode, the Falcon and Winter Soldier, when they went to see Ezekiel. The young kid there, he's actually part of the Young Avengers as well. So, I mean, they're setting up the Young Avengers, but they could also be setting up like a female Avengers and then just having the male Avengers, you know, like do their own thing as well. So they could have three possible things on the way, which would be quite cool to see. And like quite interesting, to be fair, to see how they would go about doing all these stuff. But again, there's so many different possibilities that they could go with the ending this series, but I think the main one is going to be that Sam is obviously going to take up the mantle at the end of the series, get a whole new costume, the same as Wanda did in WandaVision. She got a whole new costume at the end of it, so I think Sam's going to end up with a whole new costume and become like Captain America Falcon, I think he's called in the comics. Can't remember. But yeah, I think that's probably the main route that they're going. What's going to happen with Bucky? Don't know. Again, I'd like to see him have a proper good end to his arc. Like, because the start of the show, obviously, he's dealing with the ramifications. He's still dealing with it now. I think being around Sam and then trying to figure out his own bits here and there of what happened to him and stuff, I think it's all going to come to some sort of head at the end of the series of Bucky, or for Bucky, shall I say. I don't think he'll be killed off, but again, I won't be surprised if he does. Or he feels that he needs to, like, leave or something. You know what I mean? Like, he might feel that he's just caused too much damage in the world, that his time is now ending, that he just wants to go off and just, you know, live remotely in a farm somewhere out of the way of everyone, that nobody will find him, blah, blah, blah. Kind of like what Steve did with him at the end of Civil War, when they put him in on ice on Wakanda, because Wakanda's out of the way of everyone. But now Wakanda's opened up to everyone. I don't think he'll go back to Wakanda. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll go back now, because obviously the sadness that is that Chadwick Boseman sadly passed away, so obviously he can't come back as Black Panther, so maybe he'll go back to Wakanda and they'll go down that route with the White Wolf storyline. Like they mentioned, I think during this episode they mentioned that he's called White Wolf in Wakanda. Or was it episode 2? It's one of them anyway. But yeah, maybe they'll do that. Maybe he'll go to Wakanda and not become the leader, because obviously they're going to get another Black Panther because that's the leader of Wakanda. But then he could become like the sidekick over there or something, like a White Wolf sort of thing. I don't know. Like I said, there's so many different options. It's not as easy to like figure out like WandaVision was. WandaVision was easy once you've, like, after the first couple episodes, you knew Agnes was, you know, like, in control of certain things. And you knew that the village was, like, all mind-controlled, and that Wanda wasn't actually meaning to do all that sort of thing. It was easy that way to figure out what was going on. Like, yeah, the main villain wasn't Mephisto, like, everyone wanted or kept saying it was going to be. Even I said it like loads of times. But I think it set up that accessibility that Mephisto can come into the MCU at some point now, because they've got the Darkhold and whatnot. But with Falcon and Winter Soldier, it's quite hard to like figure out where it's going to go from this. Because at the moment, they're just trying to stop the super soldiers like getting out there and being out there and whatnot, at the same time as trying to like not out the new Captain America, but trying to not participate with the new Captain America because they don't believe in him. So it's just weird. Like, and also the family side of stuff, like Sam's trying to help his sister. There's just so many different like threads that they're pulling on at the moment, and it's just hard to figure out. Maybe at the end of next episode it might be a bit easier to figure out where it's going to go, because like there'll only be 2 episodes left. So yeah, next Monday I'll be here again saying everything again, coming up with new theories, new stuff, what it could possibly be. But anyway, I'm going to end it there because it is like probably about an hour and a half, this podcast. But again, I'm sorry. But if you do like Disney stuff, then I'm not that sorry, because you probably will like it. Well, I hope you'll like it. But anyway, that being said, send me your thoughts and theories on the Falcon and the Winter Soldier series. Are you watching it? Well, if you are, then you've obviously heard what's going on. And you already know what's going on. If you're not watching it, then you probably won't even made it this far anyway. So if you're watching it, let me know what your thoughts and theories are of what's going to happen, especially end of the series, after the series, you know, moving forward in the MCU. Just send me some emails, send me some direct messages. You know the drill by now. Send me some questions as well to answer on next week's episode. I'll give you a massive shout out. I'm also working on a giveaway, which I did have up for my last Wednesday one that I recorded about 2 weeks ago, but nobody's taken part in it, so I'll have to rechange the giveaway. I'll probably just do something like a £20, $20 Amazon gift card at some point. So yeah, anyway. Stay being you, stay being safe, stay being positive, stay being safe, stay being respectful, stay being nice, stay being... just stay being you, really. And I'll speak to you again soon.